Okay, everyone, welcome to Parshas HaShavua, the weekly lunchtime short shiur. And this week is Parshas Matos Maseh. So I'm actually going to develop a theme a little bit, but connected to something which is in Parshas Matos and then something that's in Parshas Maseh. Matos has lots of different things, so does Maseh. It's the longest Kriya Satora of the year, because two big parshas together, quite long. It's coming Shabbos, also Rosh Chodesh. We have the laws of vows and undoing vows and so on and so forth. And then in Parshas Matos, we have the war against the people of Midian. And here I want to share with you a beautiful Kliyakar. Kliyakar was a Talmud, a disciple of the Maharal of Prague. He was the rabbi of Prague after the Maharal. And he says a beautiful insight. So let me give you the background. The Torah says that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying that he should speak to the Jewish people and instruct the following. It says, Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'es hamidyonim. Revenge the vengeance of the Jewish people from the Midianites. Now, what's the background to this? Last week and the week before, we had Balak and Pinchas, where we have the story that after Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing the Jewish people, he advised Balak to send in the girls of Midian and entice the Jewish people with immorality and idolatry of Avodah Zarah and Gilui Aroyos. And he said, Hashem doesn't like that, and that's going to cause the Yidden to suffer. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. There was a plague that broke out and 24,000 people died in that plague, in that event. And that was came from the Midianites, the Moabites as well, but mainly the Midianites. And then, of course, Pinchas came and he killed the leader of Shimon for acting immorally and the plague stopped. That was the whole story of Pinchas, as we learned last week, and Hashem rewarded him. This week, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to wage a war against Midian. And that would be the war against the Midianites. And he says, revenge the cause of the B'nai Yisrael. Nikmas B'nai Yisrael, the vengeance of the Jewish people. Because what they did to the Jewish people. Okay, and they did, and they went out, and they fought Midian, and they won, and so on. Then later on in the pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to talk to the Jewish people about this instruction, he changes it slightly, he modifies it slightly. And he says, he doesn't say nikmas b'nei Yisrael, he doesn't say the vengeance of the Jewish people. He says nikmas Hashem, the vengeance of God. Which was interesting. Now, he right away went and told the Jewish people to do this. And Rashi says a very interesting thing. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to wage this war, he said, wage this war. And ve'achar te'osef alamecha, right after the war, then you will pass away. And that's what happened. The war was waged, and then Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Jewish people, and then he passes away before they go into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu did this with great simcha, with joy, even though he heard from Hashem that his passing away is dependent on this war. So you would imagine that he would procrastinate and delay it as much as he possibly can in order to delay his own passing. Nevertheless, he didn't do that. Afal Pisha Shama Moshe, even though Moshe Rabbeinu heard, says Rashi, that Misosa, his death, is dependent on this war. Also, Besimcha, he did it with joy, and he didn't delay. Says the Kliyakar, how does Moshe Rabbeinu know that he did it with Simcha, with joy? Maybe he just did it because Hashem told him he had to. Maybe he wasn't happy about it at all. Maybe he was very upset about it, in fact, that he had to do this instruction from Hashem. But nevertheless, he did it, and he did it right away, because that's what you have to do. If you get instruction from Hashem, you have to carry it out right away. You can't procrastinate. So how do we know? We understand that he did it, even though he knew that his death was dependent on it. But how do we know he did it with Simcha? So the Kliyakar connects this with the fact that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to avenge the vengeance of the B'nai Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he repeated it, he said, not Nikmas Yisrael, but Nikmas Hashem, the cause of Hashem, not the cause of the Jewish people. And he explains the following novel idea, and he says the following. The Midianim actually did two things. One was really more against God, and one was a consequence against the Jewish people. Against God was the fact that they caused the Jewish people to sin, to serve idols, to be immoral with the daughters of Midian. And then, of course, the Midianim also went against the Jewish people because of them, 24,000 Jewish people fell in a plague. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and avenge the cause of the Jewish people. Because what they did to me, Hashem says, I can forgive. Because there are many sins that people do and Hashem forgives. Sometimes it's a consequence and Hashem forgives afterwards, but Hashem forgives ultimately. Therefore, the Ikar war, the main part of the war, is really to fight Midian because they damaged the Jewish people. Not because they went against me, says Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is about, says the Chiyakar, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to communicate this to the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu thinks to himself the following. If I come and tell them to wage the war against Midian, and I repeat the instruction of Hashem that I'm going to wage this war and then I'm going to pass away, and I tell them exactly the words of Hashem that it's nikmas b'nei Yisrael, it's the avenging for the Jewish people's suffering, and the Jewish people know that this war was going to lead to my passing, they are going to want to procrastinate this war. They're going to want not to fight it. Why? The Jewish people, even though they complained a number of times through the Midbar, but ultimately they were beautiful. Ultimately, they loved Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, they did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to pass on. We see this later in Chumash as well. That they didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to pass away. They would love Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, what would have happened is they would have actually procrastinated. They would have delayed. They would have stalled. And Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to live a little bit longer. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that could happen. And if he had done that, he would have been fulfilling Hashem's command by conveying the instruction to fight the Midian, and he would live longer. But because he was ready to do the commandment of Hashem with joy, and he wanted the Jewish people to do it right away, he didn't care the fact that he was going to pass away afterwards. He changed the words and he said to the Bnei Yisrael, you've got to go and fight a war to avenge the cause of Hashem. What they did to Hashem, the fact they went against Hashem, that is different. That they don't know if Hashem can forgive. They can't forgive on behalf of Hashem. And therefore, they would have had to go right away to avenge the cause of Hashem. And they would have done that right away. And they did it, right away, which of course hastened Moshe Rabbeinu's passing. Says the Kliyaka, that's how Rashi knows that Moshe Rabbeinu did it with simcha. Because if he just did it without joy, he would have kept the instruction intact. And that would have caused the Jews to delay because they would have forgiven. But because he changed the words and he said, it's Nikmas Hashem, it's the vengeance of Hashem, that's why they had to do it right away. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that would bring his death quicker, he still did it because he was enthusiastic and passionate about listening to Hashem. And that's how we know that he did it with Simcha. Okay, that's a beautiful idea. Now, in addition to all of this, I want to explain to you something that is explained in Hasidic philosophy about this war. What's the spirit? Every war that's fought in the Chumash also has a spiritual connotation. What is the connotation about fighting against Midian? What does Midian represent that we have to spiritually fight against? So in Hasidic philosophy, it is explained, the Hasidus, that the word Midian comes from the word Modoin and Meriva. Modoin means division, conflict, disunity. And Hashem was saying that the greatest threat to the Jewish people, greatest destruction of the Jewish people, is the concept of Midian, disunity, conflict. Conflict just means hating other people, not intolerance of other people. Says Hashem, Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael b'esa b'yonim, go and fight Midian. Every year that has to go to this war. We have to fight disunity. We have to fight machloikas. We have to fight conflict. And this is the spiritual meaning of this war because of the word Midyonim, which comes from that word Modoin, which means division and conflict. Of course, we always read this around the 3 weeks, and this is so amazingly connected because we all know the famous idea that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the godless that we're in, came from sinas chinam, came from baseless hatred, division, conflict, and so on, and therefore we have to fight it by baseless love, avas chinam. And that's how we bring the Geula closer. And of course, during the 3 weeks and the 9 days, when we focus on the Beis HaMikdash, and we focused on reflecting on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're mourning and feeling the pain of not having redemption, not having a Beis HaMikdash, this is a primary concept to focus on, the idea of not having conflict and not having division, but rather having achdus and being absolutely united, embracing everyone with love and with tolerance. Which ties into another thing that we read the Shabbos, which is amazing. Which is, this week is Matos and Maseh. Matos and Maseh means it's a double parsha, and we read both Matos and Maseh. What we just talked about the Midian war, is in Matos. But in Maseh, we read a different pasuk. And I want to note that it's important to realize that this year, which is not common, we're reading it on Shabbos, which is also Rosh Chodesh Av. And we read in the parsha about Rosh Chodesh Av. What do we read? We read about the passing of Aaron HaKohen. Now, Aaron HaKohen, we read about his passing a number of parshas ago. That's in Parshas Chukas. But it's repeated in Parshas Maseh because Parshas Maseh goes through all the 42 journeys that the Jewish people journeyed in the Midbar. And one of them is a place called Hor HaHor. That's where Aaron HaKohen died. And the Torah mentions it. And the Torah says the following. The Torah says, and I must just share with you an amazing thing. There is nowhere in the Torah except for this instance that the Torah explicitly says when someone passed away. We know, for example, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the 7th of Adar. It does not say it in the Torah. We know it from the Midrashim, from Chazal, and so on. But it's not in the Torah. The only yahrzeit that is explicit in the Torah is the passing of Aaron, which is Rosh Chodesh Av, this coming Shabbos, when we actually read about the passing of Aaron on his yahrzeit. It's a very rare thing. And it says, B'chodesh HaChamishi was the fifth month, the Echad L'chodesh, the first of the month, i.e. this Shabbos, and we're going to read that Pasuk this Shabbos, that's when Aaron HaKohen passed away, that's his Yartzeit. Who was Aaron? Aaron, we know, was someone that excelled in unity. When he passed away, it says, Kol Beis Yisrael, every single Yid, they mourned for him for long, even longer than they did for Moshe Rabbeinu, because he brought such love and peace between people. He brought resolution to conflicts between man and wife, between litigants, between people who are fighting with each other. That's what he used to do. And that's why in the Pirkei Avos, we read that Hillel told us that Heve mitalmidov shel Aaron, that we should be the disciples of Aaron. Oyev shalom, we should love peace. Roidev shalom, we should pursue peace. And then the Mishnah says something very beautiful, which highlights the type of person Aaron was. It says, Oyev esabriyos, he loved the creations, umakarvan la Torah, and he brought them close to Torah. What does that mean, he loved creations? That's a funny way to describe people. He loved Yidden, he loved people, what does it mean? So in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains a beautiful thing. He says, Briyos means a person who is not filled with Torah mitzvahs, a person that maybe is not a nice person, a person that actually doesn't have a lot of virtues. You can't really praise that person. The only maila, the only greatness that person has is that he's created by Hashem. That's it. Briyos, he's a creation. And Aaron HaKohen loved everyone so much so that Oyev Esav Briyos, he loved the most simplest, most empty of people, the most negative of people. But he loved them because they are created by Hashem, because they have an Neshama, and therefore he wanted to make peace between them, and he wanted to embrace them with love, and he also wanted to bring them close, of course, as a result, to Hashem in a greater way, because he loved them, not because he wanted to impose anything on them, but because he loved them, and that's why he wanted to bring them close. Now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out in the Sikh an amazing thing, and this actually is hinted in Aaron's name. Aaron's name is Aleph Hey Resh Nun. The Aleph and Hey, he explains, stands for Ahava, love. The Resh stands for Rabbo, Ahava Rabbo, a great love. Aaron HaKohen excelled in love. Ahava Rabbo, he had amazing love. What's a Nun, the last letter of Aaron? A Nun means that a Nun is a letter that starts off at the same level of other letters but drops all the way down. It goes, it's got a very long leg and it goes lower than average letters. That's a nun. A final nun we're talking about, because it's the end of the word, aharoin. It says, what's the symbolism of the nun? The symbolism of the nun is that he had such an avarabba, such a high level of love, but yet He had the ability to apply that love all the way down to people on the lowest level of character and of Yiddishkeit. That's the Nun. That was the greatness of Aaron. He was a great tzaddik. He possessed an amazing love of Hashem, love of Yidden, and all that. But to apply it is something different. To apply it to people who don't deserve or don't seem not to deserve love, or who are annoying or full of machlekes, whatever the case is, that's a difficult thing. But Aaron did that. Aaron was filled with love in his heart, but he was able to then apply it and bring it all the way down. All the way down to the lowest level of connection to other people. That was Aaron HaKohen. And that's so interesting, therefore, that Aaron HaKohen's Yahrzeit is on the first of Av, the beginning of the 9 days. Got to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the call of the hour. Call of the hour in the next week or two, especially starting from Shabbos, the first of Av, is to increase in unity, to reach out to people that we don't always talk to reach out to help someone that annoys us, to learn that art of just loving another Yid because they're Yid, because they're created by Hashem, that's it. And therefore, Makarva Latar, to help them come close to the Torah as part of the love. Not because you want to insult them or offend them. No, because you love them, you want to bring them close to the Torah and make them share the light of Torah mitzvahs, ourselves, of course, with them. Bring it all the way down to the most simplest of people. And increasing in unity and increasing in love and increasing in achdus, of course, is the catalyst, hopefully, to bring the Mashiach, the Geula, the redemption through Mashiach, much, much closer to Mitzvah this year. So we shouldn't even have to fast and observe Tisha B'Av. We should have the Geula Shleima, Mehera Be'Yomeinu. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and a very good Shabbos.